Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Another fire. Another shot.
This is a KLRN news bulletin. A sniper with a high-powered rifle has taken up a position on the observation deck of the tower on the campus of the University of Texas. He is firing at persons within his range.
This is a warning to the citizens of Austin. Stay away from the university area. Traffic is now converging on this area. A boy riding a bicycle.
That sound from Monday, August 1st, 1966, 48 years ago tomorrow. A University of Texas student named Charles Whitman lugged a footlocker full of weapons to the top of the clock tower at the University of Texas in Austin and started shooting down at the campus below. By the end of the day, 16 people were dead, more than 30 wounded. It was the first mass shooting on an American campus. Elizabeth Crook uses this event as the foundation for her new novel, Monday, Monday. She joins us from KUT in Austin, Texas. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy. You're good to have me.
Well, and you were only 6 or 7 when this happened. Do you remember it?
Actually, most Texans do. I was at my grandmother's funeral on the coast, and we did not have access to a television, and so I wasn't one of those people who was watching it unfold live.
But you describe it so vividly in your novel. Tell us more about what happened on that day.
Well, Charles Whitman, before the day started, actually, he murdered his wife. He murdered his mother. He armed himself with, actually he went and bought some of the guns that morning and the ammunition, and he apparently had been planning to do this for some time. He had spoken with a psychiatrist at the university and expressed frustration and feelings of anger and hostility, and had even said that he had fantasies of doing things like going up in the tower and shooting a lot of people. So anyway, on this day, that's what he did. He went up there and with a high-powered rifle, he was able to take aim at a number of pedestrians below. It was summer school, but there were still a number of people here. And then he just methodically began to kill people.
Well, and I want to have you read a little bit of when that shooting happened in your book. And we're talking about fictional characters here, but Shelley Maddox, Wyatt Calvert, and Jack Stone are there. And it's in the beginning, we're talking about Shelley here. If you could just read from page 7.
She tried to look at the tower, but the sun was too intense. She pawed at the ground, breathing hard and coughing with nausea, but her wounded arm just hung there. She heard herself wail. The hedge was only knee-high and wouldn't protect her, even if she could reach it, yet it was the only vertical shape the world offered. Everything else was flat ground. Things flew about her. There was the thud of impact on flesh and bone. Not hers, she thought. Not me this time. A whimper and cry. The hot concrete seared her palm when she tried to pull herself forward, dragging her mangled arm. Blood seeped into the porous stone beneath her. The frayed bra held her breast to her body and kept the lump of flesh from dropping like jello. She whispered for someone to help her and methodically lifted her palm, then methodically set it down, pulling her knees forward, watching her blood bubble into the ground.
It's hard to listen to. It's hard to read, but it's riveting. You can't put it down. Why was it that you decided to focus on this for your novel?
I saw an article in Texas Monthly by Pamela Koloff, and what she had done, this was on the 40th anniversary of the shooting, and so she had taken together and sort of stitched together firsthand accounts, people who were affected by this day or who lost someone or who knew Whitman. And so the story unfolded in this very organic way, sort of moment by moment, the way she told it. And what was so interesting to me was that she was not focused on Whitman himself and what he did, but on how people responded. This was the first time, of course, that anything like this had happened in our country. And so the reactions were very raw. People did not, I think when we watch the news today, we're able to sort of put ourselves in the place of these people, you know, that witnessed something like this and think, how would I react? What would I have done in this instance? We can kind of rehearse. We can think, you know, maybe I would be one of the people that rushed to the rescue, or maybe I wouldn't. And none of these people there that day had any any way to, you know, think ahead about this. And so they were just reacting very instinctively. And it was fascinating to me how many people acted heroically and very bravely in this instance. I mean, rushing out into the line of fire and dragging people off of the mall where they had been wounded.
Well, and you wrote this, by the way, before Virginia Tech, before Sandy Hook. How did you see those events when they happened after you had started writing this book?
Right. I started the book looking at it as really an historical incident and kind of isolated. And then as those events began to sort of unfold horribly in front of, you know, all of our eyes, I felt suddenly I was writing a very different kind of book, because this was then, you know, a situation that we have in our country rather than something that had happened in the past.
How is this shooting remembered now, 40-some years later? You live in Austin now.
I have been surprised since I started writing the book by how many people were deeply affected by this event and are still here in Austin. If I'm visiting with a group of 10 people, I find that there's usually one who was there. And that sort of surprised me. The university, I think, has had a very difficult time, you know, figuring out how to deal with this, because they don't want the tower to be just this gigantic monument to this tragedy. But there is still, if you go up in the tower on a tour, I had a friend who did this recently, and it was pretty extraordinary because he heard someone in the crowd ask the guide about this event, and she replied that they were not allowed to talk about this, that the officer on the guide could talk about this. Well, the officer didn't seem to have a lot of facts about it, and so I think there's still this ambivalence as to how to deal with it, at the University of Texas. In Austin, in general, if you talk to people of a certain age, we all remember it.
It becomes very clear in the very beginning why the book is called Monday, Monday. Shelley hears this song right before the shooting begins. But why did you decide to call the book Monday, Monday?
I think that song sort of resurrects that time. It was one of the most popular songs at the time. A number of people do remember hearing it that day. It was often played on Mondays, and this happened on a Monday. And so the beginning of the book is a Monday, and then when Shelley returns 40 years later and goes up into the tower, it just happens to be another Monday. So the book sort of travels between those two Mondays 40 years apart.
Elizabeth Crook, her new novel is Monday, Monday. Elizabeth, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Jeremy, thank you so much.
Ba-da! So good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be. Oh, Monday morning, Monday morning, couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me. Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you take me.
I'll just never hear that song the same way again. Mm-hmm. We've got an excerpt of the book, by the way, at our website, hereandnow.org. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here Now.